This is the Office Manager Diaries, a podcast all about the highs and the lows of professionals in office management around the world. We'll delve into their career journeys and diaries where they'll share their stories, tips for success, and only things office managers understand. Enjoy, and please remember to give us a follow. Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Office Manager Diaries. It's your host Hannah Gray here, and I am welcoming today Lily Martin, who is the Office Manager at Quotacom. Hi Lily.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Excited.
Same, me too. Thank you so much for coming on. We have been trying to organise this for a little while behind the scenes, haven't we? And sickness and children and all sorts have disrupted that a little bit.
Yeah, kids always the problem, aren't they?
Yes, exactly. And you may hopefully not hear too much, but my voice is still not quite right today because I've been a bit unwell. So yeah, I'm really delighted to have you on and can't wait to dive into this episode with you. So thank you for giving up some of your time to be here with me. We always start by asking you to share more with us about your career journey so far. How has office management found you?
Well, I started in recruitment when I was 18 in Brighton. So I didn't really know, like when I came out of college, like what admin was. Like I had no idea to apply for it. And I kind of just fell into the role. So I started like very basically just doing like a lot of data inputting. I was just kind of taught to do like one thing to start with. So I learned how to do that. I was very quick, like, and competent working on computers. And then I started doing like more general admin things. So like formatting CVs, job descriptions, like reception duties, answering the phone, everything like that. So that was, yeah, when I was 18. So about 12 years ago now, which feels like a lifetime ago. And I just started like basically at the bottom, like working quite long hours, like 40 hours a week, and just doing, I think when you're new, you get passed on all the jobs that nobody or people that have been there for a while don't want to do anymore because they're bored of it. So yeah, a lot of data inputting, a lot of like kind of tedious jobs. But to be honest, that gave me like a really solid foundation of like learning everything that I know now, because I was just doing things constantly all the time. And yeah, it just gave me a good foundation to what I'm doing now.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because that is that entry level where you are right. You are doing often quite mundane tasks that are very entry and admin level, basic stuff. If you've got it and you're good, you're going to get more, essentially, which sounds like what happened to you.
Yeah, I think so. It is a really good way to learn. I mean, at the time, it's quite tedious, but I think it really taught me straight away like how to manage a really heavy workload. We had lots of employees across different offices, constant deadlines to meet, working in a really fast-paced role as well, which is, you know, natural in sales and in the recruitment industry. And that just helped me build so many skills, taught me how to work really efficiently, try to not drop any balls, but still like maintain a lot of attention to detail. So it was good, like being thrown in at the deep end, but it taught me a lot.
It's funny, isn't it? Because I would look back on my career and I was 19 when I started out and think the same thing. And especially when I came into London and started working for some of the firms here, it was similar, where actually some of that grit in terms of the skills that I have now was learnt from having to work in those fast paced environments. And like you say, juggling so many things and not dropping the ball, which naturally led me to office management, and sounds like the same for you. So where did you go from that recruitment agents to where you are now?
That was the first company that I worked at. And then after almost 6 years, I left there. I took 2 years off to have my son. And then I joined where I am now at Quotacom. Again, started quite, it was a bit more casual then because I'd just come back off maternity. I did 3 days a week, just doing the same, like sales admin again, lots of CV formatting, job descriptions, adding things to the website. Just kind of got my foot back in the door after having 2 years off, and then also juggling like being a working parent, which is a totally different ball game. And yeah, so where I am now, I think I'm really lucky. I've had a great boss who has like always encouraged me and wanted me to kind of do more. So I've been able to build up my skills, yeah, and just progressed up to office management. I think a lot of the roles that I did when I first started here, a lot of the general stuff, like helping out around the office, making sure that everything's nice and like presentable and meeting people when they come in. It's kind of a lot of the things that I do now, which is nice because it helped me just build up the confidence in that before I was officially made office manager.
What were the steps like behind that? So you were doing the sales admin 3 days a week. What happened to get you to office management? Was there conversations, promotion? Did you put yourself forward? How did you get to that point? Because you've been doing the office management there for just over 2 years now.
Yeah, I think to be honest, I just work really hard. I always wanted to be really reliable, really trustworthy, and just I always want to do my best. You know what I mean? I don't want anything to kind of fall around. I like to keep everything going. So just working really hard, building up a really good relationship with like the other managers and the other leaders here. So, you know, building that trust with them as well. And I think just working a lot and putting in a lot of effort, they saw after time, you know, if they ask for something, they know that it's going to get done, it's going to get done well. Yeah, just trying to be like a solid person within the team.
Yeah, that accountability and autonomy sounds like you're potentially quite proactive and getting things done and reliable. Yeah, it does happen quite naturally, doesn't it, sometimes these roles. Did they have an office manager in situ before they made you office manager?
Yeah, they did. I think when I joined, I think we had two. We had one when I first joined, and then she left to go somewhere else. And then somebody else was our HR and ops manager. And then I think she left just before COVID. So yeah, it was kind of an easy and natural progression up to that. But yeah, I'm really happy to be where I am now.
Found your calling in your role. Is that how you feel with office management?
I think so. It's funny because, as I said before, like I never knew at the beginning like what admin was when I started. And I guess until you do it, you don't really know. I mean, you can read a job description, but until you're in that environment and working with like the team, you don't really know exactly what's going to be asked of you. And I think it's nice to do all of that, but put your own spin on it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's something that most office managers enjoy, isn't it? It is that autonomy and having that impact and almost creative vibe where you can, yeah, make a difference through your own means.
Yeah.
What is Quotacom? What do they do there? How many people are there? Where are you based? Tell us all about it.
We're an executive search firm. So we're a recruitment company. We're based in Brighton. We've got an office in San Diego also. So we've got two offices. We've also got sister companies as well within us. So we've got TAG, Odin Global and Taltrans. So we support those as well from an admin perspective as well. And two of them work in the office in Brighton here with us as well. So within Quotacom, we've got, I always lose count, I think we've got about 25 people at the moment, and we're all based. We've got an amazing office that we've just refurbed 2 years ago. So we're in an amazing office in Brighton. Yeah.
And so with these 25 people there, you've got within those numbers, these sort of sub-tenants, I suppose you would call them, that you support.
Yeah.
From an admin office management perspective as well.
Yeah, just the general admin stuff for them. I mean, they're in the office, so they share the environment with us. So if there's any like events or anything going on, they're part of it. But yeah, from an admin perspective, we do their CVs and things like that.
Wow. Busy role then.
Always busy, isn't it?
It is. I don't think I know any office manager that's not busy. You are incredibly active, Lily, on LinkedIn as a member, posting more or less every day, sharing what you're up to and how you support and engage with your staff there at Quotacom, doing events, mental health initiatives and so on. Tell us more about all those things if you can, please.
Yeah, so I never actually posted that much on LinkedIn before. It started when we did our toy appeal back in December 2023. We started doing that and I thought, okay, like we really need to get some traction on this, start posting on LinkedIn. And I've kind of just carried on from it since. I think the more active you are on it, the more you see other people. Like I've connected with loads of office managers, admins, assistants, and it's really nice to see like what they do day in, day out. And I think, I mean, when I first started, like promoting what we do on LinkedIn just wasn't a thing. Like I didn't see that anywhere at all, apart from the general like posting of a job role or a vacancy or something. And it's been really fun just kind of sharing what we do and putting our name out there, and also saying this is what I do every day and this is the fun part of my job. And It's nice to kind of show and learn from other people as well. And really nice to connect with other people as well. As you know, you have the office management group.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it is important. And in these roles, especially so, we've said it many times before around the isolation in the role. You're often the only one doing this kind of thing for your business. So connecting with others, but also raising the profile collectively of office management as a profession, which you've probably done very successfully given all these posts that you're doing and the exposure to an insight, I suppose, into what office management looks like on the daily is really important. What are these initiatives? What are these other things that you have posted? Tell us more about some of the more recent posts that I've seen. I could talk about them, but I'd love you to tell the listeners more about the recent ones.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what I've posted about. So obviously we have Mental Health Awareness Week. So things like that. What did we do? We had somebody come in to teach us some movements and stuff around our desk because the theme this year was on movement. We went out for a nice team walk. So I got everyone ice cream. So it was nice and enjoyable because we finally got some sunshine. And oh yeah, we did a quiz on Friday as well. So it's just nice to kind of end the week like a little bit earlier. We finished at 1 o'clock, had our like normal Friday roundup meeting, and then ordered in some pizza, did a quiz. And it's just nice to have like that bonding with the team, and everyone kind of goes away from the week thinking, okay, that ended on a high and ready to go again on Monday.
Yeah, it's actually a really clever way to do it, isn't it? To finish off on that high and that peak, as you say, so that people are pumped and ready to come back in rather than the down on a Friday when it's that sort of dreaded Monday feeling. Are you fully responsible for organising all those things, coming up with the initiatives, creating the ideas, and how do you go about doing that and presenting it to someone to say, yeah, go ahead if so?
It depends what kind of what's coming up. If there's like a general awareness day, normally myself or our marketing manager will collaborate on ideas or things will come up, or normally our CEO will just say, oh, this sounds really good, like should we put something forward for this, or you know, find something to do. For Earth Day 2024, we've got a sustainability committee, so we're really focused on like reducing plastics and stuff around the office, so we don't really like use the printer very much, we don't use paper, kind of everything's on our laptops. And yeah, it's just trying to be aware, I think, of the things going on. Like we don't need any of those things anymore. Like it's very different to when I first started years ago. We used to print everything and sign everything and have everything filed away, and that's just not the case anymore.
So you did this post which was about the Queen of reducing plastic. So tell us more about that particular post and what made you put that out there.
It's nice to get inspiration from other people that are doing like something similar. I really like the way things are laid out like that. So I mean, the reusable bottles and coffee cups, we actually have Quoticom branded ones as well, which is quite nice. The shopping vintage and secondhand, I don't know if you've been to Brighton, but we are inundated with like secondhand shops and charity shops and really great things like that down here. Plastic-free alternatives. So we try and get anything we get for the office, we try and either get it like biodegradable or from like a sustainable source. Food packaging, we give everybody free fruit, which is topped up a few times a week. So we try and buy that without all of the plastic packaging, and just do what we can to try and limit our usage on that.
Yeah, really love it. And again, you're promoting what you do, but also promoting Quoticom and how environmentally conscious they are as a business and your impact on that. What about culture there? What is the culture like in the workplace, and how do you believe you influence and impact on that?
A positive office culture is just so extremely important, and something I always try and aim to have a positive impact on, because you know it impacts everybody, it impacts morale, productivity, job satisfaction, and for myself as well. Anyone in the office, but especially in a leadership position, it's really important to have like your core values and your culture in your direct sight. Ours are collaboration, connection, and diversity. And that just kind of gives me and us a baseline of where our focus needs to be and what we need to strive towards. Being mindful that everybody has something going on, and being open and empathetic enough to like listen to that, make sure everyone feels valued and respected and heard. And if something needs changing or they're not happy, to be open enough to respect that and listen and not be defensive about things and think, okay, like maybe this does need changing or maybe we can improve in different ways.
Yeah, having an open mind.
Yeah.
Everybody's got value to add, even if it's not something you take forward, it might inspire something else to happen or another idea. So, and I suppose that's the part of the inclusion part and the collaboration part, isn't it? To make sure you're aligning to those. What for you keeps you motivated in your job and almost gives you that go home at night satisfied feeling with the day? You've said you're a working parent, very busy, home life as well. Are you back to full time now?
I'm in the office 5 days a week, but I work part-time hours.
Right, okay, yeah. So still the struggle, the mum or parent struggle. But yeah, what does give you that satisfaction when you go home then?
I think now, after being in this role for so long, the foundation of my role and the admin stuff that I do, I just do on autopilot now. So I think now I can really enjoy like the little things. Like I love doing the people person things, you know, like company events or the small things like a breakfast spread or celebrating an occasion, Easter things, cakes like for Pride. I just love doing the little things that make people think, oh, that was a really good day, or that was really nice. Just giving people a boost, because it's a tough environment. Like sales isn't easy. Recruitment is a stressful job. So just trying to brighten up people's day. And then I love getting the feedback. And when people say, oh, that was really great, like, thanks so much for that. I think that's the most rewarding thing.
Yeah, I would agree. It's that satisfaction, isn't it, from seeing the delivery of what you've done or the idea you've created brought to life and how people engage with that idea. Do you find, because I always find this issue where we do events regularly, we have our awards events every year for the Office Management Awards, and we have these exhibitions through the Office Management Show. And every bloody time we host one, everyone says, that's the best yet. This is incredible. And I think, how the hell am I supposed to then better it again for the next time and again and keep coming up with something that people go to every single one of them that they can go, oh, this was the best yet, and keep saying it? And I don't really know how we do it, but do you find the same pressure when you come up with, you know, even if it's like you say, the breakfast spread or the event last week for mental health, how do you keep it fresh and keep it so that people stay engaged and people think this was really good, and that pressure almost to keep meeting that expectation bar?
Yeah, I mean, I love a theme. So I think that helps. That always gives me like a bit of new inspo if there's like a certain theme throughout the year or things to do. But I think people are just really appreciative when they can see that you're putting an effort into them directly, and that you care and you want to make things kind of a bit special that day or a bit nice. I think people are just really grateful that you're there to help and to just brighten their day a little bit.
Yeah, and just showing up for them and just giving them that platform to connect or to consider this or eat healthier or whatever it might be, or have an ice cream and a walk.
Yeah.
So. I'm going to stick with health and safety again for the second episode in a row before we move on to something else in our tips section today. And this is carrying on a little bit from the last one where I talked about risk assessments. I'm now going to move on to talk about at-risk assessments for people who are individuals or collective groups who are more at risk due to their physical state or otherwise, including mental states, where we have mental health and stress now under the stress management standards in the Health and Safety Executive, certainly here in the UK. But I think this can apply all around the world. So when we think about at-risk individuals, we're typically looking at people who are perhaps disabled, pregnant, or returners from maternity leave, because they are very physically different to when they went on maternity leave. People who have temporary injuries, like broken legs from skiing. It's typically skiing season around February to April time every year. So people who come back with broken legs or arms or whatever, which can happen, or football injuries that we see quite a lot, whatever it might be. People who perhaps have serious allergens or heart conditions, epilepsy, etc. These kind of people, young persons as well, so people under the age of 18, these are generally all people that we consider to be more vulnerable in the workplace, because they aren't in what's considered a normal state of us as human beings. And so we have a responsibility, acting on behalf of the employer, to risk assess them and to consider things like, if it's somebody who is pregnant, let's take this as an example, Do they have adequate support in terms of working at the desk? Do they have support in terms of flexible hours so that they're not traveling in when they are heavily pregnant in the summer, on the tubes and trains, getting very hot and flustered, and therefore the risk of fainting, etc., is present? Do they have any particular issues, aches or pains, or medical advice that's been given from a midwife or other healthcare professional that we need to accommodate and do what's called reasonable adjustments for them? And again, much like in last time's tip, I talked about keeping that risk assessment really simple, bullets, high level, not full formal sentences. You need to put down those hazards and the mitigating factors and mitigating actions in order to protect these more vulnerable at-risk people. So at-risk risk assessments, really important to make sure that you are doing those, and again, keeping them on review. So people who are pregnant, for example, you would review them at every trimester, so roughly every 3 months, to make sure that everything is still hunky-dory with them and you are continuing to support them as they continue to experience change in their bodies and grow. So now, what hurdles, if any, have you experienced in your career so far, and how have you overcome them?
This is a difficult one because I feel like I'm quite lucky. Like, I feel like a lot of the time I've got it quite easy with everyone that I work with, and my day to day, everything tends to run quite smoothly.
I hope you have some wood nearby that you are touching, because that, yeah. I'm like so superstitious with things like that.
I know. I think all of us in this similar position, there's a thought that maybe, you know, our job's quite basic. I think certainly when I started years ago, like, the perception was that we're like back office, like we just do things from an admin perspective that just keep the company running. But I don't think not everybody realizes how instrumental that is. I think being able to spot and do things that people need doing without having to ask for them. I think that's a lot of the time people don't see what you do because you're always predicting and they think, oh, this has happened and this has gone smoothly. But actually, you're kind of the thought process behind that, like doing things before people have to ask for them, making sure they can do their job with full focus. So obviously the sales team, they're busy making money. So if it's something small, like making sure there's ink in the printer or making sure the tech that they're using is functional and the office and the kitchen's, you know, clean and ready to use, I think that really helps.
Helps keep it flowing. And it's almost not a case of going to them and saying, do you realise I did that? And I'm 10 no. steps ahead of where you need to be. But do you feel like you get that recognition from it?
Yeah, I think I do. I think that's the thing. I don't know if there are many hurdles for me, because I think I'm really lucky, like with the boss and the team that I have, they're all very supportive and very, like, they acknowledge everything that we do or I do.
Let's talk about the motherhood piece, because this is always interesting for me. And I think we have had some parents on the podcast in the past and some have spoken about it briefly, but what has that been like for you? Because I left office management full-time almost 8 years ago now, and one of the reasons I did that is because I wanted to create this consultancy business where I was helping office managers do the best work that they can, because I didn't feel like anyone was looking after the profession in that way and supporting office managers in their development and everything else. That was one of the reasons. But the other one, which people may not know about, is because I did want to have a family one day, and I knew that the role that I was in back then, working for a private investment bank in London, heading for a COO position as I was then, I wouldn't have had the flexibility that I do now being a mum. And I think maybe COVID may have changed that slightly in the landscape slightly for me, but when I think back to those days, I was working 2 or 3 of every 6 weekends doing office moves and changes. And even if I wasn't working and I'd got my team to do it, I was certainly on the phone or on emails, because you're overseeing it and you still need to do that. I was traveling to Hamburg every 3 or 4 weeks, 48 hours in and out, getting up at like 4:30 in the morning, back at 9:30 the following night, and back to back meetings. It just wasn't going to really, in my view, work for me to have the flexibility to be a mum. So for me, that's why I made this change. But how have you found that being, I understand you're not full-time in the position, but you're working 5 days a week. You came back and started, you know, almost your career again after a small break. What's that been like for you in that experience?
I think utilizing breakfast club and after school clubs and grandparents is the best advice I could probably give. I mean, it's difficult because everyone's in such a different position. Like, some people aren't able to utilize those things, or their hours don't fit around it. And it's really tough. I think when you're working and the kids are at nursery, you're kind of covered from 8 till 6. But as soon as they hit school hours, you think, oh my God, what am I going to do between, you know, a normal office job is sometimes between 8 and 5, and school pickup and drop off times are between 9 and 3. So it's a massive juggle. But I'm really lucky that when I came into this role, I've had my son already. So I had to start from the beginning and say, look, I have to do this way around because this works for me. I have to work certain hours to fit in. And within those hours, I try and work a full-time job within those hours because I want to. Do you know what I mean? I know that's not possible for everyone, but I try and push myself and do as much as I can and be as efficient as I can in those hours to just try and fulfill my role. And I'm not averse to working after hours. If I need to go home or if the school call and say he's sick, I can always pop off and do that and then catch up later. And I do utilize the admin team as well. We've got a senior administrator who's great and will happily take on more workload if she needs to at some point, and she's completely competent in doing that. So I think building a solid admin team has really helped me as well in that sense.
Do you manage the admin team there?
Yeah, there's two of us, so we try and split it you know, as much as we can, but she's full-time, so
yeah. I was going to say to you, are you someone who can go home and switch off and leave work where it is and then get home? But it doesn't sound like it. And I think that is a challenge in this world and in this environment of remote technology, but also in an office management role, because where you've got a premises, where you've got people, where you've got that environment, it's never really something you can switch off from. Do you find the same?
Yeah, I mean, I try to. I guess it depends on the day, doesn't it? If there's things, I try and plan it as best as I can. I try and get everything finished before I leave. But if there are things I need to catch up on, or she's on holiday and I need to work a bit later, fine, because I know when the time comes that I need some flexibility, I'll get that as well. So it's swings and roundabouts.
It does. I remember that expression years ago from one of my bosses, the first time I heard it. I mean, I'm talking like 15 years ago. And she, I think she'd sort of said to me, look, just go home early. It's got a swinging roundabouts, Hannah. It can't always be on you constantly giving, giving, giving. You've got to be able to take as well. So I think that's flexibility, isn't it? In the olden days, it was called swings and roundabouts. So.
Yeah, it's ultimate flexibility.
Yeah, exactly. Can you now please, Lily, share something from your office manager diary?
Yes, I think this was the biggest what am I thinking moment. It was one of our summer events we were planning for, and my boss said, well, you know, like, find something to do, like, come up with some ideas. So I put forward the idea of a summer festival for one of our quarterly events. No real event planning under my belt. My boss said, yeah, sounds great, like, go for it. And I was off. Once I got into it, I realized, okay, not only do we need a field, but we need toilets, we need tents, we need food, drink, music, activities. That was a lot. So I did actually pull all of that together. I included a photo booth, huge inflatables, a light up, you know, one of those like big light up letters. So we had a light up queue, which actually was very expensive and turned out to be really small. And by the time I committed to it, like, I had no real sense of budget unless we wanted to be in an empty field. But it ended up being like one of the better company events that we've had. I did it during an office move as well. So I had a break.
Wow.
But we got there and it was a great event in the end.
Oh, my goodness.
No, yes. I don't know what made me think that I could organize a festival, but.
But you've done it.
Can, so.
You've done it. I mean, I think we're addicted to challenges in these jobs.
And people pleasing as well. I just wanted everyone to have a good time.
And they did. So that's the main thing. Objective ticked.
Yeah.
Office move go okay?
Yes. Yeah, just about. I mean, we moved from a much smaller office, still in Brighton, to this new, like, very fancy, very lovely office. So I remember in the old office, we were like dismantling all the furniture, like getting removal companies. It was just chaotic. And then we came here and it was very serene. A lot of it was done for us, it was just trying to get a lot of people and a lot of things from one place to the next all in one piece. But yeah, we got there. I think that was probably my biggest challenge, like from moving into office management, was the entire office move. But
I've said it before on the pod, office moves are one of my favourite things to do because they are a challenge. You get to know the business inside and out, and it's a real project satisfier for me. Some people aren't so keen, but most people I speak to when they've done them actually really do enjoy them. And yeah, it's an ad hoc piece to your day-to-day, so finding the time to fit it in somehow in and amongst everything else you do is a huge challenge. So as well as planning a festival, which is just crazy. Will you be doing it again?
I mean, I wouldn't mind. I think I'm an ultimate multitasker, like at home and at work. Like I love ticking off a list. Like I'll write a list. My diary is really organized, but then I like to complete a million things at once. I guess that's what being a parent teaches you as well, when you have to be a working parent, you've just got to crack on and get it all done.
Yeah, just show up and crack on. Are there any top tips that you would share with people listening who perhaps want to get into office management, how they can make that move in and excel in the role early on?
I think the biggest thing for me is communication. Like that really is key when you're working with so many people and so many different teams. Like aside from building like a solid foundation of the basic things, I think being able to communicate, being clear and concise, and being able to speak to directors, CEOs, people in leadership positions, I think that's one of the main things. Working on your communication skills is massive, and if things go wrong or if there's a build-up of things, that really avoids like tension and helps productivity.
And what would you say those basic things are as well, if I were to press you, because some of our listeners may be like, well, what would you consider the basics to be?
I would say the basics for me of, I don't know about you, but starting like before you're an office manager, like starting in that admin role, for me, the basics is the admin role. So making sure that, I mean, specifically in recruitment, if you're learning how to use like Word and Excel, that you're proficient on those because you're using them day in, day out, being familiar with the platforms that you're using. Just so that if anybody says to you, I've got a problem, I can't do this, you're like, no worries, I've got it.
Make yourself the go-to.
Yeah.
Very good. Talk to me more now about your events and this charity work at Quotacom. What's your involvement? You've mentioned this toy drive, which is really how I noticed you, being honest, on LinkedIn, because you said that's the first time you were posting. I think we've been connected for a while before then, but that was, you know, there was so much going on and it looked incredible. It was this sea of toys, literally. But let me not spoil it. I'll ask you to share more about that project specifically and any other events that you do.
We took over that last year, and to be honest, it's terrifying at first. When you start something like any charity project, you really want to do well. We do lots of charities like throughout the year. We support a lot of charities. We've done like skydives and abseiling off the I-360 and all things to raise money, but this was definitely like our biggest project so far, and to me the most meaningful, because it's for children in Brighton and Hove, underprivileged children. And the people we work with basically have a list of children from social services or council, and they're kids that genuinely wouldn't get a present for Christmas if we didn't help out. So I think being a parent, that one for me like really stuck in my heart, and I thought, okay, we really need to do this, as well as it's been done before. So every year, obviously, with cost of living and everything going on, the number just goes up. So I think there were over 800 children on the list this year, from babies to teenagers, that if we didn't help out, they just wouldn't get a present. So it's terrifying to start. I remember the first week we started, we had £40 of our £10,000 target. And I just remember thinking, how on earth are we going to do this? So yeah, I started posting on LinkedIn more, just trying to, you know, get some attention, some traction with it. And I think as soon as you say you're doing something for children, for charity, like the community, our clients, candidates, people around us, like other companies in Brighton and Hove, were just incredible and so willing to help. And then as soon as you get that momentum, it just like took off. So we hit our £10,000 target. every single child on the list got a present, including some schools that weren't on the list, but they called my contact and said, we've got some people in the school, like they're not going to get anything this year. Can we come to you as well? And we managed to fulfill those as well. So just the most rewarding thing. And we will be doing it again this year.
Do you know what I kept thinking? And now I know your office size as well, because I was thinking maybe this is like a massive office, because the space that those toys took up was mental.
Yeah. Me and our admin, Clarissa, we were physically getting the toys as well. I think that's the thing. Like, that's what I was trying to say on LinkedIn, is we're not just raising money and you're not going to see it. Like, we are ordering every single toy that comes in. We are trying to find the best deals, like trying to cover all of the age range and genders and interests. And yeah, our office was absolutely full of toys. And in the end, in the last week, I had to get them sent directly to them, because I just thought, we've got no more space. And we had just so many people, like I said, people in the community helped out. We had a removal company that helped me within 1 hour. Somebody let me down and I just called them and I said, I've got like 500 toys to get to another place in Brighton. They were like, no worries, we'll be there in an hour. And they turned up with the Santa hat on and they were so helpful. So
that, oh my God, I'm such a teary person. That really makes me well up.
I know, they were so lovely. I used them for my house move a few months later.
Give them a shout on the pod if you want to, in case we've got any other Brighton office managers.
Yeah, they're called the Brighton Removal Company. I mean, it was Ali that came to help us. And yeah, just an amazing company. Didn't ask for a penny, wasn't even questioned. They were like, yeah, we'll be there, no worries. In the rain.
In the rain as well. Yeah. In Santa, in the rain. I know. 500 toys to charity. Wow. It must have been such, like you say, especially as a mother, it must have been such a wonderful project to be part of and to see. Did you get any feedback from the children, or did you get any updates on the impact it had?
No, so the communication with the children is like completely confidential, but the contact who arranges all of the social workers and the other people that actually physically take the presents to the kids, they just said they were delighted. And she was crying. She called me and she was like, we've got every single kid. Like, thank you so much. Without you, we just wouldn't have done it. It's just the best feeling.
Yeah. Do you know what's funny as well? I'd probably be, having seen all the photos building up week after week that you shared on LinkedIn at the time, I'd have probably been, because I'm a bit of a spoiling mum and I just give you way too many toys. I've tried to pull it back this year and last year, but I'd have been like, oh, that'd be a good toy for him and that'd be a good toy for him. Did you have that same temptation with yours?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, it's what's really nice is that, I mean, I'm the same. I'm an absolute like spoiler mum and I just want to buy and provide everything. But because I basically spent some of November and the entire December ordering toys off of Amazon and really got my shopping fix, I was totally shopped out by the end of it. I thought I'd never need to buy anything again.
No toys for you, some for Christmas. Yeah. That's it. I'm done. You've already mentioned about the people side and that satisfaction when you get home at night, seeing them enjoy the events you do and interacting and everything. What else do you enjoy perhaps the most or just as much about your office management role and why?
Yeah, the people is definitely the number one, I think. I really like the learning side as well. I've had the opportunity to do a HR course. I'm about to do another one. And just being able to upskill and learn new things myself as well. I was relatively young when I started in the industry and I'm 31 now. And it's nice to think that I still have a lot of learning and different things and different avenues ahead of me as well.
I think it is one of those roles where the learning opportunities are far greater than I think I've ever seen in any other career or profession, because it's got the span of so many different areas like HR, like procurement and finance and culture and well-being and health and safety, and it's endless. Facilities, building management, you know, there's so many different routes and things that you can take interest or develop in. So yeah, I would agree, it's a really nice aspect of the role.
Yeah, I think if willing to get involved in all of those things as well, like the opportunities are kind of endless. You can, I think that's another thing I love about our job, is that you can get involved in so many different things. You're not kind of stuck in one avenue. You can put yourself in all different places, and I really enjoy that.
Yeah, again, I think most listeners and I certainly think most of my guests in the past, that's what's drawn them to the role as well. That diversity, no 2 days the same, fingers in all pies. Yeah. And having that wonderful impact on the people there.
Yeah.
My final question then, what is the future holding for you in terms of your career? What does that look like?
Well, I think the next step, I've got the level 5 HR course to do, which is something that I'm really interested in, because that's just another like people aspect of the role and something where I can really gain some like skills and knowledge and start learning about. So that's exciting for me. And I think just the company in general, it's really nice to be a part of something that's like constantly growing. And we like to think that we're doing things a bit differently. We've got a 50-50 gender split on the leadership team. We've got a DEI committee, and we work with leading diversity organizations as well. Alan Turing Institute, Women in Data. So just being knowledgeable of that, being part of a company that's growing and really focused on diversity and equality. And we've got a podcast as well, which I was going to tell you about. It's called Trailblazers of Inclusion, and that's run by our business manager. And he's really lucky he gets to speak to female leaders who are at the forefront of driving diversity within their own organizations as well. And that just goes back to like posting on LinkedIn, engaging with different people. There's so much to learn and so many people to learn from as well. So it's an exciting future, I think.
Definitely. It makes you so much richer. Like I find from doing this podcast, it's made me feel so much richer in my connections, in my experience, in my knowledge, in what I'm learning about the role. Because even though I've got this big network of office managers and clients and things, the more that I can take in from my guests, but also share with the listeners and everything, it does make you feel like it's more fulfilling to you. And yeah, it's a really enjoyable thing to do. I've seen the Trailblazers because I think it's on your banner on LinkedIn, isn't it? And I meant to ask you about that as well, so I'm glad you brought it up on our final question.
Yeah, it's really nice to feel like you have that like support network as well. Like, as I said before, I think years ago, it just wasn't spoken about. Like, we don't really talk about our achievements because it's seen more of like back office role. And it's nice to think and to be able to see like what people are doing and changing and just helping for everybody.
Yeah, it's one of those where it's just kind of get on with it, wasn't it? You just need to get on with it. Don't make too much fuss. Don't make too much noise under the radar. And actually, I love the fact that this profession has got its platform, has come up the ranks in terms of popularity in the profession and the numbers, but also in the recognition that it's getting. So, yeah. Fab. Well, thank you so much for being a guest on the Office Manager Diaries with me today, Lily. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. It's been really fun.
This episode is sponsored by the Office Management Portal, our free online membership platform aimed at connecting, supporting, and empowering office managers in a simple to use, all-in-one self-service resource. You can sign up right now at www.theofficemanagementportal.com and click the sign up button in the top right. If you want to upgrade your account to our premium membership at any time for unlimited downloadable templates and monthly expert masterclasses, use the code THEOMD for 25% off. That's THE, THEOMD for Office Manager Diaries for 25% off. Thank you for listening.